This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Yeah, it's story time here this week, man. We got some good ones, man. We just chopping it up. We talking about that Memorial Day jump off, talking about that black college life, and we talking about don't get in Helen Mirren's way, or shit could go left.
I got a story to tell.
Time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir Camayo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. It's In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon on the microphone. And as always, on my right hand side, I got. All right, well, shit. Not always. Vladimir Camayo is not in the conversation this week. He is back to being VLAD, out of town, Vladdy. So, as always, on my left hand side,
yeah.
I got.
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, in here.
What's popping, man?
Oh, man, it's about to be summertime, man.
It's about to be summertime, man.
The weather done broke a little bit.
A little something.
People getting excited, man.
A little spring jacket. Next week is the ultimate, Memorial
Day.
The
summer kickoff.
It's the kickoff.
You know what I'm saying? The season opener.
Get your barbecue right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the backyard this week trying to get it together.
You going hard?
Going as hard as I can.
You gonna have your own barbecue on Memorial Day? You doing that?
Nah, not on Memorial Day. I don't think it'll be ready.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? All right. But, you know, sometime this summer.
All summer 16. Sometime this summer 16.
All summer 16 is going down, but you know what I'm saying? Backyard barbecue, you know what I mean? I'll let y'all know the date.
Yeah, I think I might be at a barbecue. My man, Sparky Griswold. And it's the Griswold fam, Lamskis. Griswold fam, they got something going on. So I'm going to go up there and see that and, kick it off.
Have you always, you know what I'm saying, kicked off Memorial Day?
I guess, you know, Memorial Day used to mean a little bit more back in the day to me. back when it was like event focused.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where would I go? I mean, Miami was always an option.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, I'd typically be in the city somewhere trying to figure it out.
Nah, no doubt.
I was never good at, like, I thought about this. I know myself. I'm not I've gotten better. But I was never really the guy with the plans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm good for, we should go to Miami for Memorial. I ain't bet. Let's get the tickets now. All right, well, let me get my money together. I'm going to see what's what. And then Memorial Day come and go, and I'm just going to the liquor store getting a $8 bottle of Hennessy or something.
Memorial Day is funny because, in Miami, you don't have those seasons like that. So,
right.
So it never really stood for nothing.
It did.
You know what I'm saying? It's a day off. You know what I'm saying? You might go to people used to go to the beach, go swimming and whatever.
Right.
But it wasn't never like, okay, it's summer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it wasn't until I got here in New York where I realized what Memorial Day meant.
Right.
To people with seasons.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because I was about to ask you now, at what point did that whole go to Miami for Memorial Day weekend, when did that start?
What year was that? I think 2000, I think Louis Oliver did a thing called Urban Fashion Week.
Who's Louis Oliver?
Louis Oliver is a big promoter in Miami. He does, you know, everybody heard of Live in Miami.
Yeah,
Live on Sunday. That's his spot, him and Mike Gardner.
Okay.
But Louis, he has been like the South Beach promoter for years, since the 90s, you know what I'm saying?
Salute to him.
So he had the first Friday on South Beach. He was the first, like, you know what I'm saying, black professional crowd promoter on South Beach. And then, so he had a thing called Urban Fashion Week. And, you know, and he was trying to bring down some industry people to do fashion shows and stuff.
Okay.
And he pulled it off the first year, but it was real small. So it was like maybe 10,000, 15,000 people. The first year.
Right.
And then me and this cat, Kenny Mack.
Yeah.
Flew down in an epic fly down to meet with Louis to see if Vibe could put together.
What made the fly down so epic?
Because we had a party in D.C. the night before.
Okay.
And so we woke up late. to catch the plane.
Okay.
So we was late as fuck. We pushing it. Like, we driving 100 miles per hour. And that was that movie, what was that movie when they had to fly to the asteroid to drill a hole?
I don't know.
It was a movie where they had to fly to the asteroid and drill this hole, and they had got these oil drillers to do it because NASA couldn't figure out how to do it.
Armageddon.
Uh-huh. So it was when Armageddon was out. And then when they was drilling the hole, my man, he kept saying, we got no time.
Uh-huh. That's so, what y'all kept saying?
So we was driving to the airport flying. I'm telling Kenny, we got no time. So we get in there. This was pre-9/11, so...
Uh-huh.
We got up in there.
You could show up 15 minutes before the flight.
Man, we got up in there, and we was going through security. Our bags was way too big to go through the little... So they had a little gate to tell you your bag too big.
Right.
Lifting the shit up, pushing the bag through.
Wow.
The guard... The guard grabbed my hand like, yo, you can't do that. I slapped his hand.
Wow.
It was
pre-9/11.
It was a mess.
That'd have had your ass on fucking tribunal.
You know what I'm saying? So the bag went through, we grabbed it, we running down the joint. Kenny fell and did a little rollover.
Wow.
We run all the way down there. We get to the gate. And as soon as we get to the gate, they close the door. And then we were like, damn, we right here, like the plane right there. She was like, the gate is closed.
Uh-huh. Like, I hate that
but
shit.
But the plane is right there.
I hate that.
Like, the gate is closed.
Yeah.
Ah, shit. So we sat down in defeat. Like, yo, when the next flight? Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, so the next flight going out to Miami is on Tuesday.
Dang.
That could, that, so sorry. That room, like, it's like, what the fuck?
And she gave you that shit real matter of fact. Like, for not sure. Even matter
she,
of fact.
She already knew.
With a little bit of scorn, like, nigga.
Nah, sit your ass down. Uh-huh. So we sat there in defeat. We didn't know what to do. We huffing and puffing and shit.
Yeah.
And they finally opened the gate for us and let us in.
Oh, they did that?
Yeah.
Why? What was the reason?
I have no idea why, but okay. You know what I'm saying? The Memorial Day gods was with us.
That's what's up. That's
so
cool.
We went down, flew down, met with Lewis, and then the next year we pumped it up through Vibe.
Okay.
And it went from 20,000 to 200,000.
Shit.
So from there, you know what I'm saying, it just was on.
You know what? Now I do remember. I remember this month, 2000. I went to another promoter. Shout out to Chris Latimer.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Latimer used to have the Cancun All-Star Fiesta.
He was the original Memorial Day promoter.
Right. I went to that shit.
Yo.
That shit was cracking. That shit
Chris,
was popping.
Chris Latimer was the first dude to get... that black flyaway party situation.
Okay.
Popping, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, you had the, like, the ski weekends and right. All that, but he took that shit from the States and put it in Cancun.
Right.
And that was the first, we gonna fly away and party.
This is back in the day. Again, this is pre-9/11. This was, you could go to Mexico with just your driver's license. You didn't even have to have a passport.
Yeah.
You just say, yo, I'm from New York. And they say, all right, get on the flight. And you're good. That was
original. That's the first of its kind. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That changed the dynamic.
That shit was popping.
He was the one that was promoting all the Puffy parties. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that he had Puff out there.
Right.
It was a big deal.
It was definitely a good, like, industry rollout situation too. Mm-hmm. Because I remember that year, that was the year that Nelly and them came out, the Saint Lunatics. This was the year that they started, like, putting them out there. Maybe before like the records had really hit radio. Mm-hmm. They were out there doing a bunch of shows, and they were performing like Underlay, Mommy, and we was in Cancun, and they performed that shit like it was Mexico. They performed that shit at a fucking where the bulls were like the bullfighting place.
Oh, bull.
So like where they would have the matadors and all of that, they had them out there doing the underlay, Mommy, and I remember Cass was like, yo, this shit here, I don't know, is this rap? This shit sound like some silly shit. Needless to say, he took the game over.
Yeah, he took off.
He took him. We're going down, down, baby. He was there. I think Cameron was out there. That was like Cameron was first popping.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, might have been a couple. This is when FUBU was on fire. What else? It was just a good time. Kid Capri was killing shit. They had a comedy show out there. Talent was out there. Ed Lover was out there. I got some crazy photos from out there. It was a good fucking time. I might have been my first time. I think that might have been my first time ever outside the United States. And
that's what it was. It was a gateway.
It was a gateway. It was like your first trip. Because we, again, like I told you, wasn't the best at playing. It was me and my homeboy Kev. Shout out to Kev. And we might have got our shit kind of late. So we had a terrible-ass hotel. But it didn't even matter, though. It didn't even matter. It was a good fucking, it was a good trip, man. It was a great time.
Yeah. There's cats that still go to Cancun for Memorial Day.
Yeah. Memorial Day.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Super, that black travel movement.
Yeah. And then also, they thought they got Black Beach Weekend. Is it Myrtle Beach Memorial Day weekend, too? Or is that
I never participated in Myrtle Beach. That. That's bike week.
Bike week. I think that's the same time though.
Oh, I don't know.
I never did that.
That's a whole another world.
Mm-hmm.
We did in college Daytona spring break.
Yeah, never got to do that.
Black, I always heard about college reunion.
Heard about that. Heard about Kappa Luau back in was it Galveston, Texas or something?
Yeah. We had one in Tallahassee too.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. I like that. That is probably, like you said, that was the catalyst for, I mean, I guess my generation, I'm sure it's been going on for, but a good Negro travel. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, just get on the plane, get in the world, but see what's out there.
Yeah, no doubt. But you got to understand, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't that much long ago before it was very dangerous for Black people to just get out on that road.
What you mean?
So, like... In the 40s and 50s, you couldn't just jump out on that road and just go.
But the 40s and 50s is a long time. That's 60 years ago.
That's my fucking parents.
No, I know.
That's not a long time.
It's not for us. It is
my parents.
I'm talking about our reality.
But I'm saying my parents and then me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? My parents wasn't rolling out like we roll out, just jump on the road and just wild out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They had to know where the Black people at, pack some chicken, and mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Oh. Stop somewhere safe.
Oh, we did a lot of that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So growing up and then being as an adult, being able to just jump out there and do it, that's not that old.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess so. And it's still a Black travel mantra. It's like, yo, do they fuck with Black people out there? Oh, yeah, nah, you good? Okay, I'm going.
Because it might sound like a long time ago,
yeah.
But that's just one generation.
That's true. So the sentiment is probably still around.
You know what
I'm
saying? It still lingers, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, our parents, they did in the 70s and stuff do the ski weekends and that type of stuff. But, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't as free as how we roll.
Right. Yeah. I never did a ski weekend. That's a big deal in the comedy community, the Black comedy community, like ski weekends, you know what I mean? Like kind of old school review, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Pajama party. Remember that faded out, but that used to be since from House Party, that pajama jammy jam.
Shit, from, was School Days a pajama party or was it just
I don't think so. Like
a bikini party?
I don't remember. I can't call it. Somebody jump in the comments and give us the real to real. But I believe.
Definitely House Party was a pajama jam.
But that's when they branded it the pajama jammy jam. Because that became every campus. They don't do that as much anymore. The pajama jammy jam made
it's too PC nowadays.
Yeah.
Liable to go wrong.
Wind up walking around.
Rock around in your drawers.
Right. Because that's what it was. I mean, that's what it was.
Exactly.
The pajama jammy jam was definitely. You know, it was definitely familiar.
Boxers just hanging loose.
It was definitely a familiar situation.
I'm up in here.
You know what I mean? Hey! Sponsored by Atlas.
And then I went to school at FAMU, so you already know.
Yeah.
That was a loose situation.
Oh, yeah, it was loose. It was loose at Clark Atlanta as well. It was loose. It was wild. It was wild shit.
Shout out to Black College.
Absolutely.
Time of my life.
Absolutely. Time of my life, too. My niece is looking to go to a college, looking to go to a Black college.
Mm-hmm.
And her initial one, she wanted to go to Howard. And now Howard is probably, I would say, the hype beast Black college. And not to say anything bad about Howard, but Howard has great propaganda. That Howard homecoming has been definitely memorialized in many songs and many recaps. A lot of people, a lot of Puff came out of Howard. They got a lot of luminaries.
Right.
You know, I was a little tight because I didn't hear her say nothing about Clark Atlanta, so I had to rally for the CAU. I said, you should go check out CAU as well. You know, go see everything else. So
you
she
ain't
been.
You ain't sending the Spellman or nothing?
I told her about Spellman too. I told her about that. But I'm the fuck it, man. You know, listen, we all got our pride. We all rep our spots. I need people to fuck with Clark Atlanta a little bit. It's so funny because I got in my family. On one side of my family, there's one side of my family that like they all went to college. Like they was going to college heavy. Mm-hmm. They all went to like Morgan. You know what I mean? Then my homeboy Kev, my boy Kev, he went to Morgan. And I remember when I was going, looking at colleges, you know, I was fucking around in high school. You know what I'm saying? Like I was on some, I was just going there, show up just to make people laugh, bug out, kick it. I wasn't bad in school, but it was just like, I learned early how to get over. I learned early how to talk to a teacher at the end of the marking period and turn like, you know, go up a level and just, oh, wait, if I bring this in, you know, because I would be late on a homework or I'd be procrastinate with certain shit. And so I'd have little situations going on, be like, what can I do to bring my average up? And then I'd bring my average up. But I was talking my way through the game. Right. You know what I mean? I didn't really respect education as much. It was just a place to be. You know what I mean? Like, not to say I disrespected it, but I didn't take it as seriously as it could be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, friends of mine started to go, you know, talking about going away to college and all of that. And I never really had too many of these conversations. my stepbrother, he went to Albany. He played football. So that was like, not to say he wasn't a good student, but that was his ticket. He was going to play football. Right. I ain't play no sports.
Right.
So there was a few places to go check out. Now, I would go to Atlanta, you know, year after year after year for years since I was a kid because I got family down there. So I knew about, you know, Morehouse Spellman. My sister went to Morris Brown years ago, so I knew about that. My homeboy Kevin, I knew about my family going to Morgan. My homeboy Kev was like, yo, fuck, just apply to Morgan. You can get into Morgan. That's easy. You know, everybody got to that's easy. No shots, but that's easy. So I was like, all right, fuck it. So I applied to a few places. And shout out to my guidance counselor, Kenny LaCour, Austin High School. But because he helped out. He helped out in the clutch. He saw like, oh, you ain't really even focused. All right, let's figure this shit out. It was a last minute play. And we started going to certain places. And so Morgan was like a safety school. You know how people got that. Well, I can get into Morgan. And Morgan was the first motherfucker to be like, nope, sir. Sorry.
Not you.
Thanks for playing. But I went down. I got into Clark Atlanta. I got to look for Morehouse. I go down there to visit the two of them, and the Morehouse shit was wild stuffy. It right. was like they were. It was like he was reading from a script. Well, the Morehouse man, it was just too stuffy for me. And I remember right. we went down there like in February to Atlanta. I remember this clearly. I had a brown leather jacket, my first ever brown leather. I got it from Delancey Street, butter leather, lovely. I'm out there. It's February. It's seasons. We're right. in New York. It was leather weather. I go down to Atlanta. Woo, that shit is like damn near 80 degrees in February. I look ridiculous with my leather on. But I go out there, that shit looks so on fire. I'm walking down the promenade, the strip. The shit was crazy. It felt like every student looked like they was like 25. Right. Like they looked older. Right. They looked like they were living their shit. People was driving through with convertibles. Like it was a movie.
Right, right, right.
Every college decision I made had nothing really to do with education.
Man, I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you.
Movie. And Howard didn't accept my, I tried to get a waiver on something. And they was like, no. So that eliminated Howard just in the financial sense. So I wound up going to Clark Atlanta. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, man. Shout out to CAU.
That's crazy. Now, like you said, man, I would hate for my son to make the decisions the way I made them, but he probably will.
How'd you make them?
Because, like, I got accepted to Howard in, like, early 11th grade. So okay. I applied when I was in 10th grade.
Oh, so you was proactive.
But only because
okay,
this girl named Latina Henderson.
It's always a girl. Always get your shit together.
Latina Henderson was in the 12th grade, but she was part of this pack of girls that was just the finest things at our school. And our school was known for fine chicks.
Okay. What school was this?
It's Miami New Orleans. Senior High, Miami.
Okay. They was known. Are they still known for the ladies?
I haven't checked in on that, but you know what I'm saying? I'll get back to you.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But that was the rep for this, for our particular
school. Jump in them comments. Let us know.
So Latina was part of the fine crew that when we got there in ninth grade, we used to just look up them like, yeah.
Right, right. They was 10th grade at that point.
They was 11th grade at that point.
Oh, okay.
So, boom, that next year, she was in my physics class.
Okay.
One of them science classes. And I had a partner, a lab partner, who was, you know what I'm saying, she wasn't really about that educational life.
Yeah.
She was like, this shit here crazy. Uh-huh. I'm transferring out of this class.
Yeah.
So I had the lab table to myself, and there was a couple of people who had desks on the side of the class that weren't at the lab table. So after the girl left, the next day, Latina raised her hand, was like, hey, can I share lab tables with Ali?
Ooh.
And everybody, all the fellas was like,
shit. And motherfuckers, when you're in high school, it ain't nothing subtle about it. Cats is like, ooh, okay.
I'm like, first of all, how she know my name?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
So anyway, we became cool, and she was going to Howard.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I'm like, well, shit, I'm going to motherfucking Howard.
I'm fucking with Latina.
I don't even know what Howard is, but that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
I took the SAT early.
Uh-huh.
I fucking got enough to get into Howard, and I was straight.
Right.
I ain't apply to shit else.
Okay.
And then it was senior year, fast forward 2 years to senior year.
Uh-huh.
It's motherfucking April.
Yeah.
My pops looking at them Howard prices like, man, shit. Yeah. I don't know what you...
Spain's.
So I went on a college tour to... We went to FAMU.
Mm-hmm.
And shit.
Worked out. In-state, all of that.
It was in-state.
But what it looked like when you walked up on it?
Nah, it was like the whole story behind it is like, boom, we got on the bus to go. And then it was all these different schools that got on one bus.
Right.
So the last two girls to get on the bus was from North Miami. And, you know what I'm saying, they was excited because we ain't seen none of these girls before.
Oh, they was new.
They was new.
Right, right.
Okay. So then one got on there looking like, you know what I'm saying, with all the salt and pepper shit on, you know what I'm saying, the cut up jeans.
Asymmetrical hair.
I'm like, oh shit, who was that?
Yeah.
So everybody was like kind of, you know, trying to angle.
Right.
And so I fell back. And then once we got to Tallahassee, we walking through the campus. I got on my Fila sweatsuit and some Bally's.
Okay.
I feel like I'm killing it.
Right.
And I'm looking around. I see the action. Like you said, it's a movie, but I'm like, well, shit.
I could compete.
I'm good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, I'm going to be good up in here.
Uh-huh.
So we in these little groups. And my group walked past old Salt and Pepper group.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked past. She backhand slapped me on the butt.
Oh.
I'm like, ooh.
Very aggressive.
Who did that? Like, oh shit!
Shit.
Okay. So long story short, man, we made it happen, and I'm like, yeah,
what the fuck? Nah, man, just did a real live edit. Long story short, we made it happen.
Nah, it was real slick because I wasn't no player. I was a dumb player. You know what I'm saying? I only knew what I knew. I ain't know no tricks.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I knew how to get myself into a situation, but I wasn't real slick.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular, we were supposed to all go back to the hotel and come back to the school for the step show.
Right.
So this particular girl, we got on the bus. I'm thinking, yeah, shit, we'll get to the step show. I'm going to lay my Mac down.
Yeah.
She was like, she went up to the ladies a little. The little chaperone was like, I'm sick. I don't really feel like going to a step show. Can I stay at the hotel?
Mm.
And then Lady's like, okay, girl, we'll just get you there. Just lay down, baby. Blah, blah, blah. All right, so we get to the hotel, and then she walk up to me like, hey, you going to a step show? I'm like, yeah, shit. And then she's like, why don't you stay here with me? I'm like, where?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm feeling sick, too.
Then she was like, you got somebody for my friend? I'm like, oh, shit.
Okay.
So I call my dude, Herb.
That was the shit back then.
Call my dude, Herb. He knew who I was talking about. And, you know, the other one wasn't real, you know, man.
Uh-huh.
So he was like, nah.
Oh, damn.
There's
said, fuck that wingman shit.
I called another one of my homies. Uh-huh. He like, yeah, hell yeah. Uh-huh. So I sent her down to my man. I was about to name check my one. Too many people out here.
Okay.
In these streets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Y'all done got me telling the long version.
Nah, it's all right, man. You know,
so anyway,
take your time.
So we
edit as you need be.
We makes it happen. And while we in that shit, uh-huh. it's a knock at the door.
Uh-huh.
And she's sharing a room with two girls from my school.
Okay.
So they knock on the door. Mm-hmm. And then she go to the door. I'm like, what you doing? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Leave that shit alone.
Yeah.
She opened the door, like cracked the door. It's mm-hmm. like, hey, let us in. She's like, nah, I'm in here with somebody. Mm-hmm. They're like, who? Ali. I'm like, ah. So now I hear the girls from my school running down the hall. Ah,
yeah. Yeah.
They just acting a damn fool, telling everybody.
Right.
So we get back on the bus the next day,
uh-huh.
and everybody pispering about the shit, right?
Yeah.
So we roll out to go back to Miami, and everybody wilding out, sitting in everybody, just standing all up. So the lady, the chaperone lady, was like, yo, you got to sit in your chairs, you know what I'm saying? It's dangerous. He not going to be able to drive. So everybody sit down. 5 minutes later, they jump back up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the second time, the lady got mad.
Right.
And then, you know, everybody was like, ah, fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 one pen. So the girl, you know what I'm saying, from last night jumps up. She's sitting up in the front. She jumps up.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, why y'all acting so immature? Y'all need to sit down. Oh, why she want to do that?
Yeah.
So this girl.
Why you acting like you have no sin?
You know what I'm saying?
Here you go.
One of these motherfuckers.
Fake ass goody two shoes.
You know what I'm saying? How the fuck you going to tell us what to do when you fucked Ali last night? Hey. The whole shit just went crazy. The chaperone lady clutched the pearls and damn near fainted.
Oh, man.
Oh, the shit was a raucous affair. And I'm hiding in shame. Like, oh, Lord, man. Have mercy.
Should have been basking in glory.
You know.
But it's a lot.
But it was a whole lot.
Yeah.
And then the male chaperone, he come up to me later talking about, yeah, you only made one mistake. Shouldn't have told nobody. I'm like, shit, I ain't tell nobody.
Hilarious.
She was the one told.
I like the chaperone. The one piece of advice he got on the college trip is you gotta keep your mouth shut. You understand?
Like, mother. But
yeah,
from that moment on, I already knew.
Yeah.
I was going to fan you. It was no questions.
Yeah.
And it was a good move.
Oh, man. Now, that's a lot of that. That happens on them college trips. That's why I'm concerned about my little family.
Well, you know, she free in the world.
Yeah, it is what it is.
You know what I mean? You know, man, it ain't everybody ain't
make
doing
good
that
decisions.
Shit. Everybody ain't doing that shit, but, you know.
It happens, though.
That shit was crazy. But the interesting part.
What's interesting?
When she, after they backed her down, she did not.
Oh.
She did not.
Even.
She did not mix her words. She was just like, you know what? I did what I did.
Okay.
And I did what I did with dignity.
There you go.
And I'm like, oh,
I
shit.
I like her old Coretta Scott King ass.
But you know what I'm saying? Later on, getting to know her later, she was the most mature motherfucker I ever knew.
Yeah.
She was a grown motherfucker in high school. That's had a beautiful. Whole full-time ass job.
That's beautiful.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn. So,
yeah, that affected a nigga decision.
Damn.
Took us to fam.
She was there too or no?
No. Fam, you was a new life.
I went there unburdened. That's a beautiful thing, man. Woo! Anyway, let's take a break. Get a little read here. A great business needs a stunning website, and with Wix.com, you could do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are gonna love it. So what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Do it, do it, do it, do it.
Wix.com.
Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
This is Sherrod Small.
And Kurt Metzger.
Of the Race Wars Podcast. Check out our podcast.
To hear the very first interracial friends in history.
Right. That's right.
That's right. We are the first.
We are.
The first real interracial friends talking about race openly
yep.
and without fear. And there ain't nothing like it. anywhere.
That's
you're
right.
cheating yourself if you're not listening.
You can find new and archived episodes of Race Wars on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Hey guys, this is Chris, one of the producers here at Stand Up New York Labs, and I'm telling you to go check out our Instagram page, at Stand Up NY Labs. We're having a great time taking pictures of all the comics that come into the studio, recording podcasts, all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You're missing out if you're not following us. You can see pictures of Jared Fried, Mark Norman, Joe List, Kurt Metzger. Who doesn't need more pictures of Kurt Metzger in their life? Go check out our Instagram page, at Stand Up NY Labs. You're going to love it.
Yo, so on another note, I went to the movies yesterday, right? And it's been a minute since I've discussed the movies that I've seen. So, you know, I always got to kill time between shows. So I saw, I go to like Rotten Tomatoes, see what's highly ranked or whatever. And there's this movie called Eye in the Sky with old Dame Helen Mirren and Aaron Paul. Helen Mirren was ill in Shadow Boxer. She was, you know, she's an OG. She's been in the game. I don't think you know who she is. And then Aaron Paul is, you know, that's Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse.
From a good old Breaking Bad. So now the movie is basically about Helen Mirren is, I guess, like some type of corporal or something. She's in the military. She's a bad motherfucker. Like, if Hillary is anywhere near as bad, if she win, she was ridiculous bad. Like, she was... hard body, right? So what they're doing is they've been tracking these, I guess they're ISIS or some type of insurgent type of thing, right? It's a couple people. It's this like little ISIS type collective, and it's a white woman who kind of got radicalized. She started hanging with them. So the deal was, it was supposed to be like a rescue mission where they get them.
Go save the white lady?
Not even save the white lady, like, but capture the white lady, bring her back for a trial.
Save the... Oh.
Nah, she going to jail.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But they trying to... Initially, it was to capture...
I thought they
was
going to bring her back and slap some sense in her.
No. What are you doing?
What are you doing? What would your mother think?
You're a white woman.
You're the freest person on the planet.
Are you pulling the doubles out? Come on. Who do you think you are? Anyway, so they wanted to capture the whole little insurgent hub or whatever. So the whole movie it takes place somewhere out in somewhere in Africa, right? Like, where are they? Like Somalia. Where's
Kenya.
That? Kenya. In Africa, right? All the black people are in Africa, except this one white girl. All the black people are in Africa. Everybody else is remote in various countries like Britain and the U.S. or whatever, and they're monitoring it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got cameras, surveillance and shit, but everybody's behind like a keyboard. And then there's Aaron Paul, who's behind like a missile,
right?
Just in case. So... basically, they've been tracking the shit, and the shit that show you all types of surveillance. Like, they got wild new surveillance. Because I always figure when you see it in a movie, that means it's really in the world. So they got this surveillance where the shit looks like a fucking, like a palmetto, like a water bug. You know, the palmetto bugs, the
roaches.
Ones, the roaches
big
that can
roaches.
Fly,
yeah.
The big shits that scare the shit out of you,
right?
That'll fly.
Right.
So they got some of those equipped with a camera.
Right.
So they find out. They see they all huddled in this one little spot, and they got the Somali cat who got to go amongst these other Somalis and blend in, and then activate the little palmetto bug to fly into the thing, and he's giving them surveillance.
Roach cam,
the roach cam, right? Sophisticated roaches, and he's putting his life on the line so they can see what's going on, and he gets it in the house. And they get in the house and they identify the target. Oh, shit, that's her and that's him. And they're all there. And then they go say, get us into the other room. Go to the other room. Other room, they got like a bed full of like explosives and suicide vests, you know. Or so we assume, right? Yeah. So now they like what was once we got a capture and bring back.
Should we be saying spoiler alert, by the way? I mean, you really got right into it.
Oh, I got all the way into the shit.
I think they know by now.
I'm spoiling the shit out of
this. I think they know by now.
This shit is spoiled.
Wait.
Well, let me say this. This is the thing about this movie.
I tweeted about it. I ain't hear nobody say they saw it. You know what I mean? This is one of those kind of off the beat. This ain't Civil War. I'm sorry, y'all. I probably should have gave you a little spoiler alert, but I'm going in. Because this is one of the movies, no disrespect, Chris, it's one of the movies that kind of make you a little tight at white people afterward. I don't know if white people, y'all ever have it, speak freely. Has there been a movie where white people were like, you know what, I'm not fucking with black people after seeing this movie?
I don't know. I can't think of a movie off the top of my head, but probably it's just we're not going to watch them. You know what I mean? There's a lot of like black movies that come out where you're like, well, that's not for
that's
me.
That's not
you know?
For me.
That was right. A cool way to do it. But see, like, there's movies where we be in oppressed situations. We be at the brunt of just suppression and violence and shit like that. Or historical movies you watch like Rosewood or something and you be real tight after you come out.
Roots.
Yeah, shit like that. When a nigga still in chains. You know. Anyway, so they like, yo, we need to go ahead and we need to shit. Because if they get out of here with these suicide vests, it could be worse. So we need to go ahead and blow this shit up.
Right.
We need to shoot a Hellfire missile. You know what I mean? We got to shoot this missile. And then they get in like the coordinates and seeing what could happen. And then they got to like kind of refer up. That was the whole shit. They got to refer up. It's got to go through the prime minister. It's going to foreign affairs. It's going to this guy. And it's everybody on the other side like making the call. Some guys is like, you could do it. Other guys are like, I don't know. This was supposed to be a rescue. Now you're trying to turn it into a casualty. We can't. It's poor propaganda, blah, 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 blah. And so they're basically having this conversation via like I am about black life. Like, should we do it? I don't know. I mean, yeah, well, you know, it comes to a point where there's like a little girl who's coming out there. Then there's like the little like Aaron Paul who's about to let the missile go, sees this little girl running up. And then.
Little girl, black or white?
She's a black girl.
Okay. So the only white girl is the.
The only white, and I don't even know she all the way white. She,
Africans and then the white lady.
They're trying to rescue. They're trying to rescue. Well, they're trying to bring the trial.
Right.
But now she's down with some cats that's about to do something even bigger. So now it's turned to, well, for the sake of all these people, we got to blow them up. And, you know, basically there's a whole, like, the movie is really just everybody weighing in on the decision. Because the decision is impending doom, but it's like, do we need to do it? Is this a measured decision? Do we got, you know, blah, blah, blah.
What Jesse had to say.
Jesse pulled the car up. Jesse was like, he saw the little girl. He's like, no, I want to get a full report. I need you to run the report again about the fatality rate. I want to make sure that it's below 50% because I don't want to just be killing a little, you know.
Right.
Helen Mirren is like, fuck that shit. We need to do this now. One girl is going to get killed. Don't turn into a sucker. One girl's going to get killed. If we don't do nothing now, there'll be tons of girls that'll get killed if these people get out there. Like, she's, you know, it's very much about war. It's very much about war.
Is it really about war, though?
Well, it depends on what your melanin situation is. Because, you know, it is kind of about, not war, but it's about.
Ain't war like another army and shit?
Okay. Well, it's about, what is it about?
Terrorism.
Modern warfare, right?
Modern warfare, terrorism, striking from afar, all of that type of shit.
Yeah, it's modern warfare, but more just terrorism. Like, modern warfare is like, even when armies, they conduct themselves in different ways.
It's like war is kind of like a game, kind of like we know who our enemy is and we're going.
We're fighting this nation, that nation.
All right, so this is more this like is terrorism our nation, interception.
Our nation fighting a cell of people.
Right, with the most elaborate war equipment.
In one room.
Yeah.
With a baby.
Yeah.
That don't sound like no motherfucking army.
No, the baby's not in the room. The little girl's out in the world, like, selling bread. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to see the shit, dog. But it's like, the little girl will get you invested, but it was... And I'm trying not to get super specific, because I did give a bunch of spoilers, but there's so much suspense... Like, via I am. Like, what do we do here? We need to make a decision soon. And then this little girl is out there. She's trying to hustle his bread. And they're like, well, send our guy to go buy the bread. And they go, the guy goes, try to buy the bread to get the girl out of there. And then they run up on him. And they're like, I know who you are. And then he has to throw the bread at them and get his ass up out of there. Shorty, the little girl picks up the bread. After the dude done bought the bread, she take the money, pick the bread up off the floor.
And sell
put
it
that
again.
Shit back on the table. There was one point, there was a white couple in front of me. I saw the white guy say, "You gotta kill her now." I said, "God damn! Damn!" Like, it was terrible. So Aaron Paul was like, "No." He's like, "You gotta run the diagnostic, make sure that, you know, the kill zone is smaller than this. I feel as though if we could wait this out, it doesn't make any sense, blah, blah, blah." They're like, "No, it's impending doom. We need to act now, blah, blah, blah." But it's going through the chain of command. All this time, we still waiting on this little girl to move and hustle his bread up.
I can see why that shit ain't made no money.
Nah, well, so, so then there's one part. This is the worst part. So Aaron Paul gets to be like a hero. There's one part where there's this one black guy, look like T-Pain on the computer, who's like, he's the guy that has to run.
I'm gonna buy you a drink.
He has to run the diagnostic to see what the kill zone is. And she's like, "Yo, we need a below 50% kill zone. What can you do to make it a below 50%? So he's trying.
"I can make it a kill zone.
He's trying, but he can't. He's like, it's 65 to 40. And she's leaning on him. She's like, "Pop, we need to make this. I'm not trying to force your hand, but we need to make that happen." Like, she's leaning on him. And then this motherfucker, like one of the only black guys in the whole shit, of course he crumble. He's like, "All right, I think I figured something out." And I'm like, this nigga here. She threw him under the bus. Long story short. Fuck it, we gonna spoil the whole shit. Long story short, they fire a fucking missile. Boom, blow up the shit. Little girl is on the floor, like, she got
flailing.
Nah, she's like looking dead, and she's kind of moving a little bit. And they're like, "But this is just how detached and how real the shit got." Helen Mirren's like, "All right, you know, okay, we'll get to the little kid in a second, okay? I need ID on the people that we just sent a missile at. Make sure we got the bodies."
Right.
So they pulling into the bodies, and then, like, you see, like, a head here. Okay, that's such and such. See somebody that you can't even identify. I believe that's such and such. Yeah, that's Jamal, right? You see, but then the white woman, you see her kind of moving, like, out the rubble a little bit.
We got her. We saved her.
No, we ain't save her. Hit her ass again.
Ah.
Shoot another missile.
They shot a missile to kill one white lady?
They shot a missile to kill, like, six people because they were gearing up. Supposedly, we still don't know. Mm-hmm. They were gearing up. It looked as though they were gearing up. They were putting dynamite in these suicide vests. They were shooting like a little YouTube
video.
You
just shoot them out as soon as they walk out the house? Ping, ping, ping.
None of these people are on the ground.
Where they at?
I told you, motherfuckers, they're on the other side of a monitor watching this shit
with
on TV.
With robotic roaches.
With the robotic roach. And then the robotic roach handler, he got chased down. Remember, because we tried to buy the bread. They got his ass up under a car hiding.
They could have just sent a robotic can of Raid and killed everybody.
Maybe they could have done a robotic, like a little tear gas bomb or something. But they ain't, nigga. When it's missiles to be shot, they ain't doing tear gas where you can do a hellfire missile. So
don't bomb a house.
So the little girl is like, you know, looking crazy. And they shoot another one.
Missile to kill the girl.
At this point, like, the father had come to try to help the little girl. He gets in and there's another.
Who helped the white lady?
No, the white lady, she got obliterated. They got rid of everybody in that situation.
Who was her boyfriend?
He was a black guy. It was one of the guys.
A nameless guy.
Nah, I think his name was Jamal or something.
Oh, that was Jamal.
It probably was Jamal or Ali. It was Ali or some shit. You know, but they neutralized the shit out of them. They was done.
At the message end of the shit, yeah. Do not fuck with motherfuckers named Jamal or Ali if you are a white lady.
Exactly. Don't get your ass caught up with all of that shit. Definitely don't wear no vest if you ask you to put a vest on.
Don't take your ass to Somalia.
So, yeah, but long story short. Fuck it, I didn't fuck the whole shit. Long story short, little girl does not make it. Like, there's a point where you think the little girl gonna make it, they bring it to the shit, she dies.
Who stole her bread?
Nobody. She actually got the bread sold.
So she
just
sold
not
out the
time.
Bread.
She got the bread sold because the guy that was under the car finally, like, had some time where they people who was chasing him, they kind of went away. And he comes up out the car. He sees, like, a little kid, like, playing soccer. So he says, "Yo, I need you to go over there and go buy all this. You want to make some money? Go over there. Go buy all this bread. Fly like the wind. Go buy all this bread. And if you come back with the bread, I'll give you the rest of this money." So this little kid
He goes and gets the bread. And then
he was black.
No, everybody's black. It's Somali. Okay. Somalia. So it's Kenya with Somalis. And everybody grabbing the bread. He buys the bread. But the little girl, you know, she take it kind of for like, once the bread was sold, they was like, all right, let's go. Because then you gotta realize.
What, the bread was T-Pain, in the way? T-Pain,
no, the little girl, the reason that she was there is because she was selling bread. She was posted up. She had a vendor.
She had a little table. So T-Pain
had made the strike zone about to be under 50%. So now they already got clearance to let her go. Aaron Paul, his conscience is like, are you sure? It's like, yeah, it's under 50%. He's like, all right. Missile locked and loaded.
Light them up.
So you got 50 seconds to get the fuck out of there. So then, so like, there's a lot of suspense. She sold the bread, but the little girl's taking so long to like fold her little blanket on the table and shit.
And they couldn't wait.
No, that missile is on its way. She got 40 seconds to get the fuck on. And unfortunately, little man, he get the fuck out of there. But you know, shorty didn't make it. And that shit made me not fuck with Helen Mirren for a while. Helen Mirren was like, she was a hard-bodied ass, like, just a, she was like a jet, like a war, what they call her, like, a, what they call them? Hawkish? Mm. War? Yeah, she very hawkish with it. Like, she was leaning. She wanted that kill. She wanted to know. She was like, I've been following these people for 6 years. We got the chance. It's the first time we ever had them all in the same room. I mean, it's a little girl, but listen, all of that don't mean nothing if they do more. And you know, understandably so.
No doubt.
But they kind of pulled you into the emotional narrative.
Of the little girl and
it was,
selling bread.
Yeah. It was an excellent movie, though. I can't even front. Even after all of that, even after how I felt and shit, the visceral anger, it was a good-ass movie. I can't even lie. No, you know what I'm saying? So,
if y'all just selling bread, pack your shit up quick. Get the hell on.
Yeah, keep going. but long story short, if I didn't fuck up the movie for you, go check out Iron Sky.
We just watched the whole movie.
Yeah, it was good.
We just watched the whole movie.
what else is going on, man? Oh, let me say this. Shout out to everybody that came out to the In The Conversation live show. We had a good-ass time at the cake shop. Shout out to Jeremy and his whole squad over at the New York City Pod Fest. Thanks for having us. Yeah. We were in good company, too, man. Yeah. Like, Dave Hill and Ted Allen was right after us. Right after them, fucking Dick Cavett and Gilbert Godfrey was there. Dick Cavett. I thought Dick Cavett was dead.
That's what you said.
Yeah, so shout out to Dick Cavett for being alive and being in the same situation as us.
It was definitely a good situation, man. Mm. That was our first live show, so it was definitely different. You know, doing the talk in front of people, you know what I'm saying, and having live interaction. So, you know what I'm saying, I hope we could do more of that.
Yeah, we had the Triumphant in the building.
Yeah, Triumphant was in the building.
We had Chris in the building.
Yeah, you know what I mean? L. Clay was in the building.
You know what I'm saying? We had Layla Glam
was in the building from Philly.
From Philly, fresh.
Barren Gifts.
Tasty Cakes on deck. Peanut Chews. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for that, you know, that diabetic treat.
My man from Maryland.
The Maryland Cats.
You know what I'm saying? Who stake claim on the voice of your choice. Story.
Right. He said, no, I gave you that. I'm the one that told you to go with that.
No doubt. So I'm the voice of your choice, and my man from Maryland, you know what I'm saying, he set that up.
There you go. It was a good time, man. It was a fun time. Shout out to everybody that came out. We might be putting that out in the world, so look forward to that.
No doubt.
Shit.
So if you want to see us in your city, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Bring us out. I'll
let your promoters, man. You know we out here. We'll do it.
You are the promoter.
We'll try.
Get your bag together.
Yeah. Get the bag together. Oh, man.
We need to do that Black College tour.
We should.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Black Colleges if you can hear us.
Take it back to campus. Take it to Clark.
Take it to Clark. Take it to fam. Take it to Howard.
Definitely take it to Howard.
Shit.
Tell these stories.
Yeah. It's a good look.
Don't make decisions off your Peter.
Yeah, don't do that. And if you do, make sure you bag it up.
Definitely.
Especially in Atlanta, because you've seen that propaganda. They talking about the Atlanta got rate. Third world country HIV numbers.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I'm out the game.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad about that.
If you're still in the game, man, cover your shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, go in with a vest. You know what I mean? That shit, that raw ain't all it's cracked up to be when you start coughing.
Oh, man.
Right after that. You know what I mean?
And they got tests now at the drugstore. You could go in with your test.
Man, I don't know about that.
You wouldn't do that? You wouldn't do that?
No. I don't believe the test. The test game, first of all, I don't believe the over-the-counter test.
But I mean, you wouldn't even at least, you know what I'm saying, put that out there? Like, hey. You know,
test? Let's no, try. Go with a condom. Go with I put a condom before you need to test yourself for STD or any type of shit.
I don't know how it worked, man.
I just know they got the shit now. Nah, I could dig it, but I don't know much about that test. I don't know how good the test is.
It seemed like it'll fuck up the rhythm.
It definitely, you can't.
Hey, pee on this stick and we're going to wait 20 minutes to see what's up.
see if you got HIV.
See if you got that package.
So it can get real awkward in the room.
You got the ninja.
When I come back with your results and be like, I ain't fucking with you. Nah, come on, man. Plus, I think there's like a little, there's a lapse always. Like, I think there's something where it's like, it's not up to the date. It's not up to the date of. It's like, I forget how that shit works. You know, so I'm not even going to keep talking about it because I don't know. All I tell you to do is go get yourself a condom. They still sell them like three in a pack.
Three in a pack. So go enjoy yourself. You got that free boys and free New York City boys.
Yeah, don't do the free condom, man. Invest in your condoms.
I mean, that's lifestyles.
Nah, I still don't trust them. Them shits be sitting there like in the barbershop. So what? Anybody come through with a pen? Anybody? Them shits be old.
Somebody walking around with
a pen? You fucking never know. People are crazy. People are crazy as hell. People do the wildest shit in America. Listen, man, go get your condoms from a reputable pharmacy where that shit is behind some glass or something, man. Go ahead and get
you. What if you can't afford that shit?
Well, then stop. How you getting pussy if you can't afford the condoms?
Pussy is the freest entertainment
or how
of
you
time.
Having sex. Oh, I don't want to say getting pussy because you can go both ways.
When you ain't got no
way.
Money, that's the only thing you can't do.
Yeah, but still.
Like that. Hey, what you doing tonight, Ned?
Protect yourself, man. Protect yourself. Show you, if you're not worth $5, if you can't find $5 to save for your self-preservation.
You ain't never been broke trying to get some?
Yeah, but I ain't never been too broke not to protect myself.
No, I'm saying you can protect yourself, but that's it.
What you mean that's it?
That's it. You could get the free 99s from the New York City lifestyles.
I never used the New York.
Don't turn down the opportunity to protect yourself.
Listen, go ahead. If you want to do that, I look at that like a public defender. I'd rather get me a real lawyer. I'd rather get a motherfucker that's got a, like, you know what I mean? That just ain't working for the system. You know what I'm saying? You never know.
AM is better than NAM.
Listen.
That's what my grandma was saying.
All right. Well, listen. Do what you do, man.
I'm good. I'm out the game, man.
Go ahead and spend a couple dollars, man.
I mean, if you got it, yes. But if you don't,
who ain't got condom money?
Somebody ain't got condom money.
Just go to whatever Planned Parenthood and get them for free.
That's what I'm saying.
Go to Planned Parenthood.
That's the same. That's the New York City joints.
Are those the New York City shows?
If you go to the health department, clinic or whatever, you're gonna get the New York City joints.
Yeah.
I don't trust them.
I've seen them abandoned in little boxes sitting off to the side for mad long and shit. Look, if they work, cool. But if there's anything that I would encourage you to invest your money in, it's protection. Fuck that, man. Spend $5, dude. You know what I mean? Spend $5. You get 3 for $5. So spend $5 and use that one and keep them two on deck. Or if you need to, if your money's really fucked up, then buy 3 and sell 2. You know what I mean? Get your $5
back.
That's
how people getting pregnant, man. You know, you be broke sitting around. Ain't nothing to do. Put on some Key Sweat. And you're pregnant.
I'm doing a little research while you guys are talking about this over here. This is called this never comes up when you hear about HIV or AIDS or whatever. There's a window period of 3 to 6 months.
That's what I told you.
Where it takes that long for the antibodies to show up in your system.
That's what I'm saying,
And you're the most infectious during that period when you can't detect it.
That's why your ass needs to put a bag on it.
No doubt.
Go up in there with the shield, Captain America style. Mm. You know what I mean? Guard your ankles.
Shit. So if you're in the A.
Yeah, if you're in the A.
Invest in your protection.
Hell yeah, man.
If you're anywhere, but if you're definitely if you're in the A.
Shit look crazy.
Because, you know, all them strippers and all that booty swanging and all that feel good hot line of shit.
Yeah.
Get yourself together now.
Shit, man. What they say, if Metro don't trust you, wear a condom.
Metro don't trust none of them.
Shit. Fuck that. Put a condom on. Anyway, where you going to be this week?
Ah, man, I'm going to be in BK We are putting the final touches on Thorough TV. You know what I'm saying? We got the whole L. Clay series done. That's dropping June 14th. You know what I'm saying? Are we going to be at Brothers and Sisters? When is this?
What's that?
Is Wednesday. That'll be tomorrow.
What's Brothers and Sisters?
Brothers and Sisters is at Mokata. You know what I'm saying? Hosted by Sada Ahmed.
Well, okay.
And Elise Peterson, I think she's on the mic. So, you know, they do like a good little, you know, round table discussion on issues or, you know what I'm saying, relationships or whatever. It's like a grown folks teen summit.
All
right. You know what I'm saying? It's just real dope.
Grown folks summit.
You know what I'm saying? You know, Sada do everyday people. So, you know what I'm saying? It's always cracking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, we're going to be out there. We shooting that tomorrow.
Okay.
And then, shit, man, we out here in these streets.
That's what it is, man. That's good. Well, I'm going to be in these streets, too. Tomorrow or today, I'll be at the Stand on the 9 o'clock show. Also be at the Comedy Cellar on the Good Midnight show. I will be at, where else, man? Shit, I'm at Stand Up New York on Sunday night. And also, let me let y'all guys know that Comedy Knockout has been renewed for a second season. So thanks for everybody that's been watching. Thanks for all the support. We got picked up for 16 episodes. So we'll be filming that pretty soon. I'll keep y'all posted on that. But anybody
this season still going?
I believe the season is still going. Yeah. We still in the middle of our 10 apps.
So let them know. Thursday night.
Thursday night, 10:30, True TV. Please check it out. Please support. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out!